But I am fascinated, intrigued, and honored.
You
by
may
the
have done what they said you did, but
they
you
are
not
magnificent,
they
marvelous.
Say you are.
You
need to know that you're okay just the way you are.
More
succeeded in you as a child.
What you've been through matters.
This podcast is designed for you.
It's
love on
a
mission
hope.
In a world
about
where human experience
is
lacking.
My name is Ginger Wilk, and we're here to talk about that which matters.
Welcome to That Which Matters. I am so excited about this episode. This will be episode 3 of season 3. And thank you so much for your dedication, for listening, and for sharing this. And I do please encourage you to give me 5 stars if you think I deserve it. And continue to share this with all of your friends and family members. And today we're going to be talking about wisdom. Wisdom is a very dear thing to me. It's one thing that I really believe that God has blessed me with, and I'm so grateful that I have it. I'm not saying that I've arrived, but it has been one of the greatest gifts that I could ever get. And I think it's important that we talk about it and that we seek it, okay? And what have I really experienced is that through the years, many, many people have had a tremendous amount of knowledge. They've had skills, they've had zeal, spiritual authority, strength, achievements, beauty, popularity. But the glaring issue is that they didn't have wisdom. And you can have all of those things or one of those things in abundance. But if you don't have wisdom, then you're going to be lacking. We are going to be lacking as people. And so one of the scriptures that I want to read is in Proverbs 3. Just want to tell you a little bit about Proverbs. I know some of you are aware of the Bible and you read the Bible. Some of you have never picked up one. I want to let you know that the book of Proverbs is great for even if you're not even considered a Christian or whatever. It just is tidbits of wisdom all the way throughout. And there's 31 of the chapters, so it's great. Every day of the month you could read one proverb, which is a great way to just get some enlightenment. So in Proverbs 3:13, it says, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she," so they're personifying wisdom, "she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And those who hold her fast will be blessed." That's a really powerful statement. "By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck." And it goes on and on and on, but verse 24 says, "When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." So that's a heck of a lot assigned to the concept of wisdom. There's a lot in there, right? And so we want to make sure that we understand how important wisdom is and how we can implement it. And there have been times in my journey, even doing life groups and pastoral care, where, you know, you would think people get very beefed up by their spiritual growth, by their zeal, by their, you know, wanting miracles and all sorts of things to happen in their lives. And all of that is good. But there's been times when, as I've led people, as I've been able to help guide and mentor people, some of the things that have come out of my mouth haven't been so glamorous or sexy, right? I remember having somebody in my life group and she was constantly fasting all the time. She was putting her whole family on fast. It was a constant, constant fast. And finally, one day I just said to her, "This is my direction to you. I would like you to stop fasting for a while." And I remember thinking, geez, this sounds so ungodly and it sounds so carnal and fleshy. But the truth of the matter is that she was so unbalanced when it came to these things, and I'm sure it was driving her family crazy, and it was causing a lot of havoc in her life. And so my direction was something that was a direction of wisdom to bring balance to her life. And you know, there's a, I remember going to a hotel one time where it was a woman who had lost very close family member. And there were all these people showing up to this hotel room to bring food and to bring comfort. And I was there under the pastoral care to just check on her and see how she was doing. But I mean, it was like a party in that place, you know, and people were just, you know, kind of talking about their own grief and dealing with it. And there's food everywhere. And it's just one big thing of chaos. And so I came in, the Holy Spirit was like, tell everybody to leave. You know, and so that's what I did. Like, I had to very nicely ask everybody to leave because I could see that it was wearing down on her. And again, that seemed like, what a party pooper. Like, what a, you know, what a thing to kind of say out of the blue. And I kind of felt funny about it. But at the end of the day, wisdom said she needed rest. She needed silence. She needed to not be exhausted. She was already exhausted with her grief, with then company on top of it. And so these are just some examples of times in my journey where I've had to implement it, where it hasn't been as popular, but it's been very much needed. So what is wisdom? So the definition of wisdom is the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The other definition is knowledge and the capacity to make good use of it. That's what wisdom is. Very simple. Very profound and very necessary. In James 1 and 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So any of you, whoever is listening right now, whether you have an experience with God, whether you know the scriptures or not, the Bible says that if you ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to you. So if I told you, listen, if you guys show up at every Cumberland Farms that's in your area, and they're going to give you $100 bill. This is going to last for, you know, 7 days. Any Cumberland Farms, just go in there and you're going to get $100 bill. You would be flying out of your homes to go down to that place and to get your $100 bill. Well, this is what it is. And it's more than $100 bill. It's more than gold. It's more than silver. And God says, if you ask for it, he will give it to you. And many people just don't simply ask. And so I encourage you to ask. And one of the things I want to talk about is Solomon, who was the author of Proverbs, by the way, and David, King David's son. We talked about King David in the last episode. And he was the wisest king to ever live on this earth, probably one of the wisest or the wisest person to ever live. And basically what happened was in 1 Kings 3 and 5, the very beginning of his journey with God, was that he was in a situation where God had given him the ability to now inherit the kingdom. And so in verse 6, Solomon answered to God, because basically he was like, God said to Solomon, what is it that you want? Solomon said, you have shown great kindness to your servant, for my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant a king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Remember the episode about authority? True authority is having that humility and understanding that when we're put in a situation where we have to guide people, lead people, it's humbling. It should be humbling. It shouldn't puff us up. It should be humbling. And so basically he's saying, I'm only a little child. I don't know how to do this. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will give you what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone else like you, nor there will there be in the future. Basically, God is saying, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you everything else, he told him. I'm going to give you wisdom, and now I'm going to give you all the other things that people would normally ask for. So God honored the fact that Solomon asked for wisdom. And so basically he was tested right out of the gate, where there were two women who came and they needed a problem solved. And the problem was that Both of them had babies. Both of them had babies at the same time. They were the same age. They woke up and one baby had passed away. And so they were fighting over which of this living baby was theirs. No, the living baby's mine. The living baby's mine. They were fighting back and forth. It's my child. It's my child. And so Solomon had to solve the problem. And so he, in all of his abundance of wisdom, said, okay, since we can't solve this, he told his servant to please come and get a sword and divide the baby in half. Kill the baby and divide the baby in half. And right away, one of them said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Give it to her. It's okay. Just give the baby to her. And he said, you're the mother. That's the true mother, because a true mother would make that decision because of the love that she has for that child. And so that was an amazing thing that he did. And just to tell you a little bit of a funny story, when my daughter was, both of my daughters were young, I would read to them. And then at times I would just tell them stories. Sometimes I would make them up, and sometimes it would be biblical stories. And when my daughter Hallie was 2 years old, or three maybe, I was telling the story about Solomon, this particular story. And I got to the part where he said, okay, you know, servant, come with a sword and divide this baby in half. And as soon as I said that, before I finished, she raised her hand and said, and I looked up at her, and she raised her hand and she said, I would take the head. And I thought that that was so funny, that first of all, in her mind, she thought that the baby would be divided that way. And she just wanted the best of the spoils. And so I thought that was hilarious that she said that. And my daughter, Hallie, actually, her name means wise warrior. And she has tremendous wisdom. And I think about how it was birthed, really, in me telling that story about Solomon. But that was an amazing, amazing demonstration of his wisdom. And so that was the beginning of his journey. And so wisdom is the type of thing that we take with us wherever we go. In Luke 2 and 40, talking about Jesus, it said, the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. So God thought that it was so important that as Jesus was growing, he was growing strong, meaning he was getting bigger, right? He was growing physically and getting strong, but most of all, he grew in wisdom. So the God of the universe felt it was really important that his son Jesus have wisdom more than anything else. Not even zeal, not even, you know, fluency and being able to speak, but wisdom was the most important thing. In Proverbs 19:11, it said, a person's wisdom yields patience, and it is one's glory to overlook an offense. In Proverbs 28, it says, those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. There's so many examples of wisdom and how people use them throughout the Word of God and throughout their journey. And so I want to make sure that we understand that there are people throughout the Bible that demonstrate this. So for instance, Joseph, and I'm not going to get into all of their journeys, but Joseph, who basically was betrayed by his brothers, he had tremendous wisdom. Whether he was in prison, he learned to be the best prisoner. He learned to lead the other prisoners while he was there. When he faced temptation, he learned to be able to look the other way and to keep himself safe. He learned the system of how to keep people safe and fed during a drought. He had wisdom to be able to know that I better, out of survival, I better learn what is in front of me, and I better know how to speak and when to be silent, which is very important. Moses, right, who led the Israelites all through the desert before Joshua, he had the wisdom to know the understanding of the Egyptians and how powerful they were. He was able to learn all of that, the language. He was educated. He knew that in order to survive, he had to have that understanding. Mary had wisdom. It said that she kept the secrets that she knew about Jesus in her heart. And sometimes one of the most powerful things that we can do when we have wisdom is to keep the secrets in our hearts. Sometimes it's about having tremendous confidentiality. Sometimes it's about understanding that if I speak this out, it's going to cause confusion. If I speak this out, this person is not ready to handle it. There have been many times when I've been in counseling sessions where I've known that I need to say something to a client, but they're not ready to hear it. So I have to sit on it. I have to wait until they're ready for it. And that's what wisdom does. Wisdom doesn't just open up your mouth and just speak whenever you have a thought in your head. And Mary held that information. The angel told her from the very beginning, right? And as time went on, she began to understand and remember the things that were told to her. But she had to keep it close to her heart. Jethro was in the Bible, and he helped Moses to be able to have the wisdom to know how to organize people. Have the wisdom to know that if Moses kept seeing hundreds and thousands of people every day and giving them advice, he was going to die. Like, he would never be able to sustain that life. But Jethro had the wisdom to know how to do it. So many situations in Gamaliel, in the book of Acts, there was a situation where all of the people in the book of Acts, you know, the high priest, were freaking out because of the apostles and what they were doing. And he had the wisdom to be able to talk about the history. There have been people before that have been radical. There have been people before that have said this. And basically to say, if it's not of God, it's going to fall by the wayside. It's going to end up just stopping. But if it is of God, we're not going to be able to do anything to stop it. And so basically his wisdom calmed the crowds of the leaders down because he had wisdom to see it. And obviously all of the things that Solomon did, if you just follow his life all the way through, you'll see that his wisdom was very vast. And so part of being wise is being impartial. Right. When you're dealing with people, it's one thing that it drives some of the people that love me crazy, because they'll bring up a situation of something that they're upset about. And I will always give them the other side of the story. And they think that I'm taking the other person's side, but I'm not. I'm trying to give them all the facts. If they're saying this person said this to me or ticked me off or did X, Y, and Z, instead of me saying, oh, you poor thing, I'm so sorry, I'm trying to give them the context. And sometimes it could be wrong, but at least you should have all of your facts in front of you. And so my kids get frustrated with it sometimes. My husband gets frustrated. Some of my friends, you know, they just want me to be that person that's going to react and, like, kind of go down that whole gossip train with them, or, you know, get into the pity party. But wisdom tells me, you know what, if you're going to put a situation in front of me, I need to know all the sides so I can make, you know, a decision in that situation. So what does wisdom say? It says to be a better listener. I think most of us get into the most trouble because we don't know how to listen. We just simply don't know how to listen and just shut up, right? We all need to learn how to shut up sometimes. When we're in new situations, instead of shooting off our mouths, you sit and you assess. Something so powerful that we can do is to observe. Let everybody else shoot their mouths off. Let everybody else kind of bring things out, and you assess and learn. So part of being wise is learning to assess the room, where people are coming from, what's their position, what's their status, what's their context, what's the flow of this particular meeting. I mean, I went recently to a meeting where it was sort of like a legislative thing, and talking about changing some laws, and that's a whole different culture than some of the meetings that I go to. And I just kept the first two meetings, I didn't say one peep except to introduce myself, because I don't know the way that it goes. So rather than saying the wrong thing, I'm going to listen. I'm going to learn. Learn to speak sparingly. You know, we don't always have to say a ton of things out loud. We can think them inside, but we don't have to always say them outside. Asking questions instead of jumping to giving advice. Asking questions is one of the most powerful things that we can do, because that's how we learn, right? A person of understanding draws out the purposes of a man's heart, right? So asking questions instead of automatically just giving some sort of, like, you know, opinion, well, did you feel this way? Or how did you interpret that when that person said that to you? Or what are you thinking you're going to do? Get more information instead of just jumping in, not making assumptions about people or about the situations, you know, not looking at it as a situation where, you automatically are, coming up with some sort of a conclusion about how it all went down. You need to have more information. Sometimes wisdom is, well, I just don't have enough to be able to give you an answer on this. Or I'm going to have to learn a little bit, or I'm going to have to do more research or whatever. Wisdom says to have a balance in life. And, You know, a lot of times, I think people think that wisdom is kind of one of those boring kind of, I don't know, like buzz killer, right? When people give you wisdom, because people get so excited about stuff. And that's good. It's good to get excited about things. And we need people that are full of zeal and so forth. But a lot of times when people get excited about something, they want to do these giant leaps. You know, they're okay, I'm going to go on this diet and I am going to, you know, drink nothing but juice, you know, for 4 months. You know, wisdom says after 3 weeks or less, right, they're going to bail on that diet anyway. Like, that's never going to work. They're never going to get the nutrients that they need. But also, too, that's not really what their end goal or result is. How about, why don't you start out with just taking cupcakes and cake and French fries out of the mix? Doing something that's more medium. And that's what wisdom will tell us a lot of times, is to experience medium changes, medium days, which again, medium sounds boring, right? Because a lot of times we want these hypes, you know, and wisdom will always tell you to just kind of be more steady. And giant leaps sometimes are good, but most times you're not going to be able to sustain that. Whatever it is that you say you're going to do, again, showing up, right? You show up, it's progressive. It's something that comes over time. Understanding that, you know, these boring kind of situations are significant aspects of success, right? If you want to start a brand new business, of course, we all want to be the ones to have the ribbon cutting, and we want to be the ones to, you know, put our storefront together and decorate everything. That's the fun part. We want to open the door and have the customers come. But what about where you sit down and write a business plan? It's not so sexy, right? What about when you have to, you know, meet with an accountant or a financial person to make sure you can afford it? Not so much fun, right? You know, what about when you have to, you know, scrub the floors or, you know, do some real, you know, hands-on work? Not really a lot of fun, but wisdom tells you that there's going to be a variety of steps that you have to go through, and you need to look at all of those before you jump in, because many people, they bail as soon as they start hitting some of those boring parts of their new experience. Obtaining counsel. Some of the worst decisions that I've seen people make and that I have made myself has been when people don't seek counsel. If you are about to do something and you know that if you're going to ask three other people, they're all going to tell you it's a bad idea, don't do it. If you can't find three people that can agree with you, and I don't just mean like your choir, right? Like people that are really balanced and people that have experience. If you can't find them to agree with you, or if you think that they would disagree, then you need to wait. And sometimes wisdom tells us to wait. And that's part of what we don't like, right? Because we want things now. Not to be impulsive or reactive. You know, impulsivity is really a killer of a lot of things, even prophecies. When people give us a prophecy and they want to share with us something that God is speaking over us, a lot of times our impulsivity just really kills that whole prophecy, because a lot of times when God speaks to us about things, many times it's not about right now. It's not about the next 5 minutes or the next week or so or year or so. A lot of times there's a delay to it. And so when you jump in and just try to make something happen, that's impulsivity. That's not using wisdom. And when we're reactive, you know, sometimes we need to just count to 30 seconds before we speak, because if we don't do that, we're going to end up being in a pickle with what comes out of our mouths. We need to respect the wisdom of others, people that are wise, people that give us wisdom. Respect it, because it's valuable. We need to research and fact check. Don't go only by one source with whatever it is that you're listening to, learning from. If you're only going by one source, then that's not wisdom. Obtain information from different sources and do your research before making decisions. And when you're dealing with others, don't let your experience form an assumption, right? Just because you've been through something similar doesn't mean that it's exactly the same way. And so I just want you to know, when my daughter Hallie, who I talked about, when she turned 16, I gave her this beautiful gemstone that I got. It was this, you know, kind of like a rough jewel for her 16th birthday. And I gave it to her because her name means wisdom. And I wanted her to know that the wisdom that she has is precious. It's a precious jewel. And it is for her. It is for me. And it can be for you, too, if you just ask. And if you give yourself the opportunity to really just have God impart this in your life and apply it to your life. And it will be life-changing. I promise you. Thank you so much for listening.
In collaboration with IML Productions, this has been your host, Ginger Wilk, with That Which Matters. Thank you for listening.